Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
We tend to think of ourselves as followers of Jesus, and that's true enough. But there is a connection that is real. When people are born of the Spirit of God, there is a connection that is so much deeper than simply a collection of people with their names on a register somewhere. If you know Jesus Christ, you're not just a name on a divine list somewhere. God wants every one of His children to understand, I'm part of Him. And that's why later on in the chapter he says the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. If somebody really steps on your toe real good and hurts it, do you just say, well, that's not me, that's just my toe? Every part of me is me. I'm not just a head. I live in every part of this, and every part plays a place, has a place, and plays a part. Anyway, we'll get it right. That means if you know Him, I don't care if you think you're the little toe and you're sore all the time, you're part of Him. If something happens to you, if there is a challenge that you and I are facing in our lives, He doesn't see you as, well, I sure hope they get it right this time. That's Him. He takes it personally because it is personal. What is it? You know, we talk about an unseen war. The truth is, we're all unseen. There's an unseen part of us that is really of a spiritual essence. We just live in these physical bodies. They're temporary. Everything about this world, as we've said many times, is just temporary. God has put it in place for a reason, to serve a purpose. This is not eternal. This is a stepping stone. And God's unlocking the mystery of why this world even exists. Praise God. And I'm starting to talk about the body. I'm an invisible being. You probably wouldn't want to see me if you saw the invisible part. But anyway, regardless, whatever we look like, I don't know. But anyway, but I'm an invisible being. But what is it that makes this part of me? It's because I live in every part. I mean, the same me lives in my foot, lives in my hands, lives in every part of my body, and hopefully in my brain occasionally. But, you know, we need to realize that how God sees His kingdom. His kingdom is absolutely united by what? What is it that makes us one? His Spirit. The whole purpose of the cross. The whole purpose of doing away with our guilt and our sin that separates us from a holy God is that so He can come and live in us by His Spirit. Well, I'll tell you, if you have His Spirit and I have His Spirit, we're connected. We're just as connected as my one hand is to the other hand, because the same Spirit lives in spite of the fact that we see ourselves as individuals. We're not just individuals. He lives in us. And that's the kingdom that He was sent to build. And I'll tell you what, it's being built every single day. Thank God for what Jesus did, but we need to see ourselves, and we need to understand that whatever happens, we are part of Him, and He takes it personally. Praise God. Praise God. He never says, I don't need you, what's the matter with you? You're just a name on a list. He cares about you this day because you are as much a part of Him as every single part of His body, of your body, is a part of you. If you're sore, He feels it. And so we're talking about the unseen war and the battles that we fight. Thank God that we just don't have a Savior sitting up there shouting encouragement and saying, try harder. We have one who lives in us and has given us what? How much of what we need?
Everything
we need for life and godliness has been given to us. Well, what in the world? Why does this world exist? Why are we even here? If all of this is really true, what part does that play? Why do we have these battles? Why do we have to fight at all? Well, remember what we read in the beginning about how he's bringing us to glory. He's purposed that we come to glory. How many of you remember what the writer in the Hebrews said in was it chapter 2? But it was necessary in fulfilling the Father's plan, I'm filling that part in, that he come and live in the flesh and suffer and die. What was the purpose of that? To bring many sons and daughters to what? To glory. That's the whole purpose. God is going to have a family that will, like the scripture says, will shine like the sun. How in the world can he take people like us and do that? Well, he's got us living here and him, but the key is he's living in us and through us, and we are a part of him and we are part of each other. The more we learn that, the more we're going to be able to actually grow and fight the battles that he allows in our lives. Every single battle that he allows, and in fact, that's the only way Satan can do anything. Every single thing that he allows in our lives is him working in us to bring us to that place. And his own son went through it, didn't he? He suffered. He learned. What did he learn by what he suffered? Anybody here need to learn a little bit more about obedience? Yeah. How do you learn that? Having to face real challenges and make real choices. And to trust God even when it doesn't look like it makes any sense and the battle seems on how in the world can I handle this? And God brings us to a place where we just lift up our hands and we believe his promises and we stand in him and we do exactly what he says and we fight and with the weapons that he's given us and we stand. When it comes to the end of it, we're just going to stand and say, Lord, come what may, I am trusting in you. That process is exactly what God, that's the reason for this world. What other purpose is there in this world except for us to learn his ways, to drink in his wisdom, to learn from him and to agree with him and to fight the battles that we need to fight, because God doesn't want, he's not building a bunch of robots or a bunch of people who've never had a problem. He's building sons and daughters who are going to have to face good and evil and choose what is good and trust him for the power to do it. Praise God. I want to just surrender into his hands and look to him and believe him in the face of every battle that comes. And I have the same issues that you do one way or another. Every single one of us. No, everybody here, nobody here has had any battles this week, right? You think maybe the Lord wants to remind us of some of these things and encourage us? Because you are not alone. Praise God. God is going to bring every one of his out of darkness into light. He's going to bring every one of us to victory. But that process is going to happen day by day by day as we learn how to trust him in the face of every battle. So whether the battle is on the inside, which most of them really are, you know, even when we face things outside, it's not just trying to fix things and fix people and fix the world. It's how that all affects us. The biggest thing is, can I handle it and have a right spirit and trust God and put people and situations in God's hands and trust him to work it out and use it for his glory? Or am I going to just constantly, you know, fuss and fight and have a wrong spirit? Well, it's gotten quiet. But isn't that the battle we face? Every single day, we face things like, oh God, fix that, fix that, fix that. And he's trying to fix you, trying to fix me. He's got a job on his hands. The more we learn, the more we face what we look like. If we could see beyond the image in the mirror and see what we really are in the inside, oh, we'd say, God, thank you for your mercy. Help us. Help me. But oh, what an awesome Savior we have. What a price he paid. We sang so much about it this morning. That was amazing. That was awesome. I thank God for the songs that were sung this morning. What a victory he won, and what an amazing Savior we have. But oh God, he has the power to bring us out of everything in this world and bring us all the way to glory. And I just praise him. I praise his mercy. And you always, when you speak about such things, you've always got two kinds of people, or different kinds of people in different places. Who is he talking about when he's talking about those who are truly his brothers and sisters or his part of his body? He's talking about people that have absolutely come to a place where they've recognized their need. Realized, I can't do anything about it. I'm going to have to come as I am, humble myself. But God's going to allow God to lift my eyes to what Jesus did when he died on that cross. When his hands were stretched out and his feet were nailed. And the blood flowed. I'm going to have to comprehend the meaning of that. That God was demonstrating his love for me. And I know he sits on a throne, but the throne he needs to sit on is this one. And so, anyone who hears this, here or somewhere else, that may be the battle you're fighting. Has the throne of your heart ever been really surrendered and the bridge burned behind you, as it were? Because once he possesses this throne, once he becomes the Lord and Savior that you're putting your hope and your trust in, he doesn't just stand there and shout encouragement. He comes in to live. And then the work starts of salvation, when he begins to change you from what you were into what he's going to make you. And everything that happens to every believer in this life is part of that process of getting us ready to that for that day when we're going to stand there as finished products of his grace. So if I'm speaking to someone who hasn't come, the battle you need to come to a place of surrender, it's that simple. You don't need to overthink it. The whole purpose of, what Jesus said on that one occasion was, unless you become like a little child or a little children, you will not enter the kingdom. It's not my wisdom. It's not my, what about this? What about that? Lord, I surrender. My hope is henceforth in you. I am trusting in you. Come and live and possess my heart. And I'll tell you, you think the Lord's gonna work in somebody's heart and bring them to that point and say, no, not you. That's what he's looking for. He is not looking for an excuse to turn people away. He's looking for a reason to give somebody hope.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.